Larry,
get into bed now.
Come on, Larry! Larry!
It's almost here. The quintessential American holiday. While Christmas is indubitably the family holiday, the 4th of July is the guys' holiday. The whole thing is tailor-made for dudes, real dudes, not soy boys or manlets or SJWs. Well, first, there's plenty of prep, huh? Accumulating obscene amounts of hot dogs and chop meat, maybe sausage and chili, and then enough beer to drown a herd of wildebeests. Women are virtually superfluous during the 4th of July. Men do the barbecuing. Men do most of the drinking, and without question, men do the most important part of the entire celebration, blowing shit up. I've never met even one woman who had the slightest desire to blow shit up. They like to watch the display, sure, those majestic flowers and fountains way up in the sky, but the ground game, the do-it-yourself game, the one that used to be played with M80s and cherry bombs and firecrackers, the small arms fire of the holiday. That's a guy thing. And if we don't stand up on our hind legs and scream and say, enough, not just fireworks, but the 4th of July will be an extinct thing. Fireworks are illegal in most states, and in the ones where they are legal, the stuff approved by the nanny state is weak sauce, low-power crap. The 4th of July is in the process of being emasculated and eradicated, outlawed by the matriarchy, the gynarchy, the hand-wringing, safety-first wet blankets who cannot stand to see anyone enjoying themselves in a manner of which they do not approve. But there's more to it than that. The 4th of July is about multiple precepts that Americans used to hold dear. Rebellion. Self-determination. Its formal name is, after all, Independence Day. But commies and Karens and Cretans of every stripe are doing all they can to make it about groupthink, sensitivity, and compliance. And as with everything else that's been ripped from American tradition, they're doing it in the name of safety and the children. Oh, and they're also using dogs. That dogs don't like fireworks. I've owned a few dogs. Not one of them gave a shit about fireworks or thunder, for that matter. Moose seems to understand they're just some noise, nothing to get tense about. I have an intense affection for the 4th of July. Not only does it celebrate the birth of the greatest nation that ever was, it was also my old man's birthday. So it held tremendous significance in my life. And my old man was as fireworks obsessed as any red-blooded American male might be. My earliest remembrances of the 4th always involved things going bang and boom. But it was when I was about 5 that I have my clearest and one of my best 4th of July memories. One evening, he came home from work with a strange package under his arm. It looked kind of like maybe a stack of folded shirts from the Chinese laundry. My brother and I were very curious. Dad would sometimes come home with surprises, trinkets or toys for us, for no particular reason. As he stashed it at the top of the closet, I begged him to tell me what was in it. He said we'd find out soon enough. We asked about the Chinese laundry, and he cryptically answered, it was from China, but it wasn't laundry. Now, New York, being a state overrun by statists and chooches, had always outlawed fireworks, but that never stopped anyone from having them. And back then, the cops were cool. They loved America, too. They were men. They had balls. They enjoyed blowing shit up, same as the rest of us. Besides, it would have taken all three branches of the military to have stopped the fireworks in New York. Everyone had them. Everyone set them off that night. It was unstoppable. That afternoon, Dad fired up a little charcoal grill in the backyard. I've never seen one like it since. It was cylindrical and the sides were plaid sheet metal, and it worked great. There were hot dogs and burgers. He even had a six-pack of Peel's beer, not a common occurrence as Dad rarely drank. As we ate and talked, there were constant explosions, as people could just not wait for evening to fall. It was like listening to an orchestra tuning up before a concert. A boom here, a bang there, the hiss of a bottle rocket somewhere else. It was surely music to my ears, my dad and my brother's ears, and everyone else on our block. Finally, when darkness descended, shit got real. Everyone moved out to their front stoop to join in the explosive fun. Guys with the heavy artillery stayed in the middle of the street to light up the serious rockets. Some of those things must have been professional grade. Everyone, even toddlers, carried what we called punks. They were like incense sticks. You light one up and the tip would slow burn for hours, and they had only one purpose, lighting the fuses on fireworks. Finally, Dad took his package from the closet and peeled that brown paper off of it. There it was, under fiesta-colored cardboard and cellophane, a collection of bangs and booms and whistles and fizzes and sparks and flashes that would keep us mesmerized for at least a few hours, maybe more, if we paced ourselves. The neighbors on both sides and across the street were already flinging all kinds of stuff into the street. It was glorious. Every piece held a surprise. In the darkness, only the person lighting the firework knew what was next. Everyone else had to wait to find out. Would it be the boom and percussion of a mighty M-80? The flash, fizz, and bang of a bottle rocket? Maybe an 8 or 12 bead Roman candle, which was one of the few items for which everyone ignored the simple 7-word instructions etched on every firework ever made. Lay on ground. Light fuse. Get away. Some firework directions were even shorter, simply, do not hold in hand. Sure enough, if you followed either set of those directions, you were certain to get through the night without injury. It was that easy. But stupid is as stupid does, and the following day, there were usually stories in the news of jackasses who decided to have a contest for who could hold a lit cherry bomb longest before flinging it like a grenade. The loser then progressed through life with a nickname like Bobby Eight Fingers or Joey One Eye. But you really had to be an idiot to do that. My friends and I played with fireworks from early childhood well into adulthood. Not one of us lost a finger or an eye, not even an injury. Light fuse, get away. So simple. Contrast that with the legal warnings to be found on a beach toy. Here's a direct quote. Warning, this is not a life-saving device. Do not leave child unattended while device is in use. This is not a toy. Never allow diving or jumping onto or from this product. Never leave in or near the water when not in use. Never drink alcohol in or near pool or other body of water. Follow these rules to avoid drowning, paralysis, or other serious injury. Well, why not just stay the fuck home? It's all too scary, isn't it? That printed warning on every stupid tube or rubber duck is then repeated in French, Spanish, Mandarin, Italian, and German. Which, I suppose, proves those nations also are home to imbeciles. The legalese leaves out so many other eventualities and misuses. One has to wonder how the manufacturer hasn't been sued out of business, huh? This air mattress is not to be jumped on from a burning building. Do not attempt to have sex with it. Do not try to breathe with your face pressed into it. Do not try to wear it like a helmet. Do not fill it with hydrogen and attempt to use it as a blimp. Do not use as a backup parachute. And so on. Ah, but that Roman candle thing. They were basically a cardboard tube maybe an inch in diameter and 2 feet long. They were meant to be put in a container like an empty gallon paint can and then lit, but no one ever did. You held the thing by one end, lit the fuse, and stood there like Lady Liberty or some god of war as the stick shot balls of fire into the sky in volleys of 8 or 12, depending on size. They were great. I did that a lot. Never a backfire. Never an injury. One of the best things about the Fourth was the smell. That tang of gunpowder was better than a rose garden. And the displays in the night sky weren't the only eye candy. With almost every ground explosive, there'd be a huge flash that would illuminate everyone from the dude lighting it to guys standing yards behind him in a frozen image like Frankenstein coming to life when the lightning struck. It was surreal and scary and exciting. Everyone in the street, icebound, in a silver strobe of wild-eyed patriotic mania. When you think about it, 4th of July fireworks, and specifically the DIY style, they deliver a small and very safe taste of a battlefield. As they say, freedom is not free. And the whole idea behind the 4th of July is to celebrate America's first war. The one that set us free from British tyranny. The bombs bursting in air, kerpow, fuck the Queen, we're taking no shit. And we didn't. With some help from France and Spain and smallpox, America finally made it just too painful and too costly for the British to hang on to us. Back then, Britain had plenty more colonies under its thumb, but most of them lacked the guns and ammo and, most importantly, the balls to fight it out. And 1776 was only the beginning. When we told them to fuck off, it took another 7 long years of battle to win the war. Among the general populace of the colonies, very few people were willing to stand up to the Brits. Nobody knows the exact number of American casualties. Estimates run as low as 4 or 5,000 to as high as multiples of that. And it's believed that as few as 3% of Americans actively fought in the War for Independence. Though that number seems very small, it actually runs true to form. With most revolutions, from ours to the Russian one to mainland China, a small but well-organized and, most important, committed group flipped the mighty British Empire on its ass. That's something to consider as we watch Antifa burn and destroy our cities. All it takes is enough people to stand by and do nothing. Enough misguided cops to take a knee and stand down, and suddenly, you're not living in America, you're living in a nightmare. Ooh, I got off track. Back to the old man and that wonderful 4th of July. So Dad slit the cellophane, lit a couple of punks for my brother and me, and our little front yard war commenced. First, he broke out the ladyfingers. What were they? Tiny little firecrackers, about maybe an inch long with the girth of a wooden matchstick. Those were so low-powered, you could hold them in your hand when they exploded and still have all 10 fingers and no burned flesh. They were like the gateway drug to more serious pyrotechnics. I've no idea why they made them, but they did. So we sat on the front steps of the house lighting ladyfingers and flicking them into the street, which was as feeble as snapping your fingers in the middle of an artillery range. They just didn't cut it. But still, they were fun. When those were all gone, out came the standard size firecrackers. Dad always had an orderly mind. He was going to go through the ordnance from small to large, and everybody digs a grand finale. Part of the thrill of those full-size firecrackers was the packaging. The Chinese artwork and names were fantastic. Black Cat featured a snarling house cat that looked more ferocious than a Bengal tiger. Right on the front, they told you there were 20 in the pack, each one measuring an inch and 11 sixteenths. They were made in Macau, which until 1991 was a Portuguese territory. And the commies took it over. Another common brand was named Bomb, in an explosive font, and it pictured a high-tension wire tower, which made you wonder if Godzilla was on his way for a gigawatt snack. Then there were Blackjacks, great name, with a swashbuckling pirate on the label. But I always thought the artwork should have been a beaver tail sap caving in somebody's skull, a more apt representation of power. Blackjacks were only an inch and a half long, however, they were touted as supercharged flashlight firecrackers. And unlike other brands, Blackjack proudly featured the name of the manufacturer, Him Yun Yik Ki, also in beautiful commie-free Macau. Packs of firecrackers came in bundles of 80 packs called a mat. There was not a full mat in Dad's assortment, so we tended to set them off one at a time. Every now and then, you'd hear somebody light an entire mat, which was like listening to popcorn in the microwave. First you'd hear a few bangs, and then as the chain reaction gained speed, they became continuous. After a minute or two, they'd start to peter out. We always figured that must be some rich dude who else could afford to blow off an entire mat in one burst. Things were really picking up speed when suddenly it got quiet. For the most unexpected reason, a cop car was slowly cruising up our little street. Were they after our fireworks? They parked right across from our house and went into the neighbor's home. Everyone quickly figured out what was up. The lady in that house had a, quote, nervous condition, unquote, and would call 911 if she burned her toast. She was, as they used to say, a bit touched. But still, nobody was comfortable setting off our goods with cops right there. It was a matter of respect. They always turned a blind eye, and to blow some up would be like dropping a gauntlet. So nobody did. Just then, a familiar figure pedaled up on his Stingray bike with the ape hanger handlebars. He was a neighborhood character and an oddball. He might have been 17, he might have been 37, nobody really knew. He had a head shaped like a football, sloped shoulders, and almost dragged his knuckles when he walked. He was a kook, and he was prone to random acts of vandalism. He might heave a brick through someone's window or tear the side view mirror off a car. For the hell of it. No malice. He just liked doing it. Everyone called him Crowbird, but his real name was Crowley. No one knew if he had a first name or where he lived exactly. He probably got blamed for a lot of stuff that was not his doing. So Crowbird drops his bike and saunters behind the cop car between it and the house the cops were visiting. Then he vanished. It was pretty dark. About a minute later, Crowbird reappeared, as if by magic. He hopped on the Stingray and pedaled off like his ass was on fire. In a moment, the cops came out of the house. People said hi, they waved back. Someone asked about the old woman with a nervous condition. One cop said she was okay. They got into their prowl car. Just before they started the motor, there was an enormous explosion from beneath the car. Both cops jumped out and looked. The muffler was now lying on the asphalt. They were mystified until someone shouted from their stoop, "Crowbird!" Then it became a chorus. More voices affirmed, "Crowbird! Crowbird!" The cop shook his head. They knew all about Crowbird. He must have crawled under the prowl car and stashed an M80 under the muffler on a delay fuse, which was easy to rig, with a lit cigarette impaled on the fuse. And for Crowbird, it had nothing to do with cop-hating or politics. He was just a guy with major screws loose. The cops drove away. The car sounded like a motorboat, and the muffler scraped the pavement. In about 90 seconds, everyone was back in the street, putting punks to fuses. Eventually, Dad exhausted his assortment, and Mom said it was time for bed. The fireworks continued, but they didn't keep us awake. We'd been hearing them for so long, they had become white noise. That 4th of July was all families on our block, plenty of kids. Nearly every father was a veteran, including my old man. All were very much aware of the price of freedom. Nobody thought it was particularly dangerous. People followed those simple instructions, and no one got hurt. Why are people so worried about fireworks? They've been around a long time, over 1,000 years. Almost as long as recreational drugs. People want to get high, and they will. People want to light fuses and make shit go boom and bang, and they'll find a way to do that too. But is the current wave of anti-fireworks propaganda really about fireworks? Or is it about what they represent to us as Americans, and especially male Americans? Is it the thought police and speech police trying to stifle another form of expression, an expression of love for country, and the acknowledgement that freedom comes at a price, and a tribute to the people who paid that price through the years? They want the fireworks gone, but more than that, they want the people gone. People who truly dig America and what it stands for. They're vilifying all the founders, Washington, Jefferson, Franklin, demonizing the heroes that had the balls to face down the British and create this magnificent idea that is our home. Silencing fireworks is just another way to silence those voices and outlaw those beliefs. What's the answer? Steadfast pushback. Take not a backward step. Someone with the resources and know-how of a Musk should create the ultimate 4th of July display, so vast and vivid it could be seen across the continent. And that display would be brilliant, with graphic effigies of the founders in their stockings and buckle shoes and tricorner hats, rendered many, many, many miles above the earth. And those founders would hold a gigantic banner, and on that banner would be the words, God bless America. And after a while, those animated patriots would flip the banner over, and on the reverse side it would say, fuck commies. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Slide over to thatlarryshow.com for more content and commentary. I'll post pictures of some of those vintage fireworks, and while there, be sure to click a subscribe button so you never miss an episode. If you like what you heard, let everyone know by posting your rave review wherever you download. If you really like what you heard, click the Patreon button. That helps me keep this thing going and opens up a world of bonus content and other goodies, including signed books, custom recordings, and more. My friends, have a blast this 4th of July. Literally. If you love America, don't be afraid to say it and show it. When you remain silent, they win. I'll see you next Wednesday, and until that time, take no shit. We'll be right back.